How would you like to win the Essential Lutheran Library? Books like Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, Law and Gospel, the Lutheran Service Book, and the Lutheran Book of Prayer, and four more resources. All you have to do is share the Issues Etc. Reformation Week video on your Facebook page and send an email to contest@issuesetc.org. You'll find the video at issuesetc.org and click support. We'll announce the winner of the Essential Lutheran Library on Friday, October 28th.
When May 21 came and went, it was a very difficult time for me, a very difficult time. We have to be looking at all of this a little bit more spiritual, but it won't be spiritual on October 21 because the Bible clearly teaches that then the world is going to be destroyed altogether.
That's Harold Camping of Family Radio. That is, I think by my count, his third prediction of the end of the world. One came back in the 90s. The latest, earlier this year, for May 21st, he says that it came and went. Now it's October 21st. That's a little bit more than a week away. And he says, May 21st really was just the warning shot. No more salvation. After that, for 5 months, the world is under final judgment. He says, we can be sure. Those are his words. We can be sure that the whole world, with the exception of those who are presently saved, the elect, are under God's judgment and will be annihilated together with the whole physical world on October 21st, 2011. And people still believe him. Joining us to talk about Harold Camping's end of the world prediction and his end times teaching, Gretchen Passantino, co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California. Gretchen, welcome back.
Well, thank you so much, Todd. I'm sorry that we spend so much time talking about the people who are the false prophets, but at least you and your listeners do have really good instruction in the true Word of God, so I hope that most of your listeners won't fall for something like this.
This is truly sad, but what I find most sad about this is that even after many failed predictions, Harold Camping's followers still believe him, still listen to what he has to say. You have dealt with people who have been parts of religious sects before. Why do people continue to believe clearly false predictions by their leaders, like Harold Camping?
Well, you know, it's been more than 30 years, actually about 40 years since I became a Christian, more than 30 years since I've been in this apologetics ministry, looking at different kinds of expressions of the Christian faith. And I have to tell you that when I was a brand new Christian, I heard somebody who at that time was just becoming well-known, Hal Lindsey. He spoke in the little Pentecostal church I was going to, and he talked about having just come back from Israel and how he knew that the end was going to be very, very shortly. In fact, it could be even that very night. It was a New Year's Eve night, and he was saying that this would be a perfect time for God to rapture all the Christians, and I was so excited, and he talked about everything in the Bible coming true, and he talked about anti-ballistic missiles, and he talked about helicopters and a red Chinese army. And I thought, this is amazing. I never knew all that stuff was in the Bible. And I went home and got my Bible. I was such a new Christian, I didn't even know I was supposed to bring it to church. And I started looking those things up in my Bible in that index in the back, you know, where you look up the word and it tells you what the verse is. I didn't know it was called a concordance. I couldn't find helicopters. I couldn't find red Chinese army. I was so upset because I was sure I could show all those things to my parents, to my friends, to all my loved ones, and they'd all become Christians. I mean, who could talk about helicopters 2,000 years ago? Had to be from God. I was so upset that I couldn't find it, and also a little upset that the rapture didn't happen that night, that when the bookstore, the Christian bookstore, was open a couple of days later, of course, this was not in the time of Internet or Amazon or Kindle downloads, I went in and traded in my Bible because it had such a bad concordance. Well, nearly 40 years later, I've learned that a lot of what people say is in the Bible really isn't in the Bible. But this is the first key to why people continue to follow people like Harold Camping, who really don't know what the Bible says. And that is, they don't know what the Bible says either. Maybe they're a brand new Christian, or they haven't spent much time learning the Word, or they've been learning from people who kind of twist the Scriptures to their own ends. And they think, well, this is a man of God. He says he studied it. He said it's clear in the Bible. Maybe it's really true. And I have to say, too, that a lot of these people, I'm not going to name Harold Camping in particular. I don't know his heart. I don't know whether he's sincere. But I know some of these people Remember P.T. Barnum's old saying, there's a sucker born every minute, and they may lose the followers for their prophecy in the 90s that didn't come true, but there are always new followers ready to be caught up in a rapture theory for the 2010s. And so, you know, if you always have new customers, you don't necessarily have to be held accountable for your past failures.
What do we know about Harold Camping himself and his teachings, which, apart from his end times predictions or end times teachings, do appear to deviate somewhat in significant ways from Orthodox biblical Christianity?
Well, first of all, he has spent all of his Bible teaching time in a stream of biblical interpretation about prophecy that has been a minority view in the Christian church for the whole history of Christianity. And that minority view is called dispensationalism. It's very popular in evangelical Christianity, especially in America right now, but it really is only a couple of hundred years old. It really started out as a new interpretation of the scriptures in the early 1800s. And this is the idea that God has two people of God. Israel is his one people, and he has an earthly plan for them. And the church is another people of God, and he has a heavenly plan for them. And because God can only deal with one of his people at a time, he suspended dealing with Israel when he began dealing with the church. And he will suspend dealing with the church when it is once again time to deal with Israel. So that's why the church has to be taken out of the way. Well, this is the kind of end times interpretation that Camping has always used, although he has gone farther with it than most dispensationalists do. In fact, there are a lot of dispensationalists today that really spend very little time on the end times. What bothers me the most about this view, though, is that it focuses on an event that is alleged to happen at one time in one generation of people in one moment in the history of the church. And it pretty much ignores what we would call personal eschatology. They're all about the end of the whole show, the whole earth, as Camping says, the whole earth is going to be destroyed. That's not what the scripture says, but that's what he says. And they really neglect that each one of us reaches the end of our show with our death. And if we are prepared to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, to stand before God in the white mantle of Jesus Christ, then it doesn't matter what generation we're in. If we're not prepared, it doesn't matter what generation we're in. Camping says that the generation today, if you weren't saved 5 months ago on May 21st, then you can never be saved. Of course, he does have a little coda at the very end of his statement where he says, God's the only one who knows man's heart, so you yourself might not know that you got saved before May 21st. So you better turn to God right now to be sure. But nevertheless, he's saying that the whole world is going to experience something, and he says there's absolutely nothing that you can do about it. On the other hand, Jesus and the early disciples and the church through history always approached people on an individual basis and didn't say, what's going to happen to the whole show, but what's going to happen to your show? Where do you stand with Jesus Christ?
So one of your concerns here is that the end times really has supplanted this, the call that Christ issues through his gospel and whereby he creates faith in the hearts of sinners for their salvation, for their hope of eternal life, for their resurrection.
Absolutely. And when we look at those hints that are given in Scripture about God's intervention in human affairs, whether they are interventions in the past, like when he sent the Assyrians to capture Israel and take them into captivity, or when he sent the Romans to destroy the temple in AD 70, or when the scripture talks about things that some Christians interpret as still future, when God intervenes in human history, it's for his purposes of glory and the proclamation of the redemptive story in Jesus Christ. And that is an individual matter for each one of us to wrestle with. Are we going to surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit, or are we going to resist it? In Matthew 24, when Jesus talks about the signs of the end, he may have been talking about the end of the temple system in AD 70. Maybe he was talking about the end of human history as we know it. But regardless how you interpret that, the signs he gave were signs that were already present in the world, had been in the world for all of human history since the fall. Things like war and famine and sickness and sin and death and false prophesying. These were not new things that had never happened before. these were things that happened throughout fallen human history. And what he was saying was not, I'm going to tell you how to figure out when the end of human history is. He was saying, no matter what you endure, even if it's as bad as the end of human history, I will be with you. Your salvation will be in me and in no one else, not in any world leader, not in any world system or world event, but in me. Take heart, because whatever you are suffering, I am there with you.
What should, how should we regard, in a biblical sense, not just Harold Camping, but anyone who makes blatantly false promises, claiming that they come from God, or blatantly false predictions claiming they come from God? We've got about a minute for you to begin a response to that question before we take a break.
Deuteronomy 18 and Deuteronomy 13 give us very clear standards for judging prophecy or prophetic interpretation. That is, the prophet must bring the teaching of the true God, and the prophet must be 100% correct in his predictions. If he is not, then he's a false prophet, and we're not supposed to listen to him. As a matter of fact, the gospel itself is so simple, so easy, and so obvious in Scripture that anyone, even a little child, Jesus says, can have faith and be saved. But the Bible is also so complex, so deep, so exhaustive that you can spend a lifetime and never learn it all. If you have the gospel, if you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you are set, whether you are in the final generation or another generation. And if that's all you can stick with, that's all you can stick with. But don't follow a false prophet just because it tickles your ears.
Gretchen Pasentino is our guest. When we come back, we've got 10 more minutes with her talking about Harold Camping's end of the world prediction for October the 21st. She's co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California. Now, I want to hear from you about Harold Camping's end times predictions. Our call-in number live this Thursday afternoon, October the 13th, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Christian apologist Gretchen Pasentino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Coming up here, starting the 24th of October, that's a Monday, it's going to be Issues Etc. Reformation Week. It's all for our listeners, but in advance, we do need our listeners' help in helping promote and, in advance, letting people know that they can listen to Issues Etc. And a great time to start listening would be Issues Etc. Week coming up beginning October the 24th. In the meantime, there's something you can do, and that is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support. Right at the top of the page, you're going to see four different versions of the Issues Etc. Week bulletin insert. It goes in your church's bulletin. It's got all the guests and the times, and they're divided into time zones, so you pick the bulletin insert that fits with your time zone. Just click on it, download it, print it, take it to your church secretary, and say, please put this in the bulletin for this Sunday so that everybody can know about Issues Etc. Reformation Week. Thanks for your help. Thanks for supporting us this way and helping promote Issues Etc. Reformation Week using the Issues Etc. bulletin insert for Reformation Week. Gretchen Pasentino is our guest. We're talking about Harold Camping and his latest End of the World prediction. His latest is for October 21st. This is what concerns me about dispensationalism, in addition to what you had to say there, Gretchen, and that is it essentially makes, whether the person who holds this view or not realizes it, it makes the cross, the crucifixion of Jesus, kind of a plan B. That God had intended to make a people for himself out of the Old Testament people of God, ancient Israel, but they rejected the Messiah, so God had to come up with a different plan. It displaces the saving work of Christ from the center of history and makes it kind of a plan B that requires God to come up with a different way of carrying out the salvation for his two-track people, the church and Israel. What are your thoughts there?
Well, not only is that the case, but there are many evangelical Christians today who embrace dispensationalism and openly say that there are two ways to be saved, that the sincere Jew who does not recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah is still saved for his sincere Jewish faith. That's really saying God saves in two different ways. And yet Scripture tells us very, very clearly that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the only way to be saved is in Jesus Christ, who alone fulfilled the law, who lived the perfect life, died the perfect death, suffered on our behalf, and rose again from the dead. There are those who say that God is not finished with Israel and that Israel, the nation today, which is 90% people who are not even very religious, much less people who would accept Jesus as the Messiah, that Israel is somehow still God's people. All people are God's people in the sense that we're created by him and he has prepared for us the way of salvation. But only those who have surrendered to the Holy Spirit, who have exercised the faith God creates in them, who trust Jesus as their Savior, are truly saved. And that's not of work, that's entirely of grace. There's no, we're not racist or anything like that. Every human being, Jewish or not Jewish, Paraguayan or Romanian, is saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And when dispensationalism insists on having two people of God, it is no surprise that then we become loose in what we mean by salvation and how one is saved.
When the day of, and I think we can be fairly certain of this, that the day of October 21st comes and goes without the end of the world, something else may happen. It may be a big day for some other reason, but it will likely come and go without the end of the world coming. Harold Camping's followers may, for some of them, it may be too much. What would you say to someone who says, I have for years believed what this man says. I've listened to his radio programs and his radio network. I've accepted that he really is a true prophet, but now I see that he isn't. What would be the first thing you would say to someone in that state of disappointment and disillusionment?
I would say go back to your first love, to your love of Jesus Christ as your Savior. You may not experience the end of the whole show, but you will definitely, according to Scripture, experience the end of your own life. When you're in a right relationship with Jesus Christ, you can endure anything. If you're not in a right relationship with Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what you endure. You're going to be separated from God for all eternity. I would encourage someone who has followed a very marginal kind of dispensationalism like that taught by Harold Camping, and certainly even his latest interpretation, dividing the judgment and the rapture, is even a new form of dispensationalism for him. go away from all of that new teaching. Go back to the historic church. Look at what the early Christians believed. Look at the New Testament without the eyes of a dispensationalist trying to tell you what it means. Look at those churches that have stood the test of time over many, many centuries and held fast to the same true gospel. Martin Luther, for example, although he divided with the Roman Catholic Church in very absolute ways, believed that it was a true church that had fallen into great error in his days, and he sought to restore the true teaching of the church that Christians had obeyed for many centuries before his time. The Lutheran Church, the conservative branches of the Lutheran Church, the conservative Anglican churches, of the evangelical Catholic churches, there are many good churches that are not dispensational that keep the same pure gospel. And that's where we need to be fellowshipping and learning our scripture. And remember, the gospel is the center of everything. If you have Jesus, you have everything. If you don't have Jesus, you have nothing.
When the day doesn't come, it's going to be another occasion, perhaps less than May 21st was, because that was more of a big media event during kind of the slow time of the summer. For the world to look in at someone like Harold Camping and say, you know, Christians in general are kind of kooks like that. He may be more kooky than some, but it's all kind of foolishness. How should we respond?
Well, you know, the kookiness of a false prophet today, if it's recognized by those who aren't Christians, especially those who are atheists or agnostics and don't even believe in God, they're borrowing from our worldview. How do they know they're false prophets? Because they're wrong. Where do they get the idea that prophets should always be correct? From the scripture. As Christians, we should be the first to stand up and say we stand for the true word of God and not the false prophets among men.
If you were to, just for the sake of argument, be able to meet with Harold Camping after October 21st, and he asked you for advice on what the Bible teaches about the end times, with only about a minute and a half, what would you tell him?
Oh, I would tell him to go back to the pure gospel. I would say whatever days God has given you to live from now on, he's in his 90s, use it to preach the pure gospel. That's what saves people. It is the cross that is the apex of history, not the end times. This is where we are saved. This is where our eternity is decided. Not in the interpretations of human beings, not by taking newspapers and trying to understand the Bible that way, but by understanding Jesus and his great sacrifice for us. There's nothing Harold Camping or Gretchen Passantino can do with our lives that's better than teaching the pure gospel of Jesus Christ.
Gretchen Passantino is co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California. We'll post a link to Answers in Action at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Gretchen, thank you.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on the split between Eastern and Western Church, that historic split called the Great Schism of 1054. Dr. Matt Phillips will be our guest. Also tomorrow, we'll talk with Dr. Andrew Steinman about dating the birth of Christ. It's not zero, but it's close, and we actually have to do a little careful examination of the historical sources inside and outside Scripture to decide upon a good absolute dating for the birth of Christ, but it's not impossible. It's not rocket science. We'll do that tomorrow on Issues Etc. Monday on the program, we'll begin a great series, an Issues Etc. classic series. This is one that you must listen to. Dr. Kenneth Corby, who has gone on to be with the Lord, had such great influence and such great teaching during his long ministry as a Lutheran theologian. We'll begin a series with him on Confession and Forgiveness, an Issues Etc. classic series with the late Dr. Kenneth Corey, Monday on Issues Etc. The gospel goes forth into the world, and it's a word that is certain. It doesn't make promises that you have to mark on your calendar and say, will it happen? Won't it happen? If it doesn't happen, do we have to change the promise of the prediction? No. It's founded in history, something that has happened, that God alone has done, sending his son in human flesh to be the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. The problem with the end times predictions, if they pull our attention, the attention of those who believe their false promises, away from that event in history that is certain, that did happen, that you don't need to question, the salvation of the world in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And God was not done doing it all when he gave his son as a sacrifice for the world and raised him from the dead, from that moment on, he has continued to do it all. He calls people by his gospel, and he alone, by the power of his Holy Spirit, creates faith that we could not have apart from the working of his word with that spirit. We could not come up with it on our own. We would not decide to do this. He must give it as a free gift. And for 2,000 years, he has been showering out this free gift based upon the blood of Jesus Christ. The same Christ who ascended into heaven has promised to come again, but he hasn't made us privy to when that will be, when that will happen. He has made us privy to when the most important event in all human history did happen. Not the end of the world, but the beginning of salvation for the world in the life, death, and resurrection that he gave for us in his sacrifice at the cross. So the church is always looking back. You want to know about the Jesus that's coming again? Look back and see the Jesus that came first time. He came for you, for your salvation. And when he comes again, we will greet him with joy as our Savior. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.